Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans here as today's host of Startup Hustle, covering all things startups, Amazon, e-commerce, marketplaces, advertising, media buying, you name it. Today, we're going to be talking about how to advertise more effectively on Amazon. And before I introduce today's guest, shout out to our sponsor. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Vince Montero from Trivium Group, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
That was fun. Welcome to the show. Montero, actually, my first, like, honestly, a vehicle that I'm like, I have like this like dream vehicle. It's the Mitsubishi Montero because I grew up abroad in Africa, and you don't see it very much. I don't see it very much, at least here in the Midwest. Nice.
Yeah. I when that car came out, when I'd say my name, I'd say like the Mitsubishi, but I had it first.
I love it. We'll leave it at that. But in a war zone, like in a crazy place, like we had a Mitsubishi Montero, and I can just, that was like my safety zone, like
That's
in
awesome.
The in the Jeep, we couldn't be messed with, you know, kind of thing. So
I love it.
I've always been wanting to get a kind of one of the classic ones and fix it up, but
do it.
Well, I'm super glad we're getting to connect. Like, obviously, Trivium is partnered with Marknology several times and well acquainted, but we have yet to get you on the show. And just super excited to introduce, you know, our guests to your story, as well as learn more about, like, you know, how to think effectively about advertising on Amazon. Let's go back even before e-commerce. Like, I know you're there in California. Let's get back into your story, though. Like, have you always been kind of entrepreneurial minded or business minded? Yeah. Like, when did you first getting into entrepreneurship or business?
Off and on, I've been an entrepreneur for about 20 years, I'd say. I've really kind of been lucky in getting in early into some different fields. Digital marketing, I've been in basically since 2005. And that was kind of by accident. And I was a bank teller at the time. And somebody was one of the people that were there said, hey, I have this digital marketing company, come check it out. And then 2 years later, I launched their office in the UK in 2007 through 2009. So digital marketing has really kind of been a big piece of my career history. So since 2005. But then
What were you guys doing 05 to 09?
So this is back in the day when like affiliate markets were like affiliate marketing was still brand new, and the networks that were new, the connectors between the people that owned the websites and people that were creating content.
Like Linkshare, Commission Junction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in my company that I was working at, what I went over, to the UK to launch was co-registration pages. So if you remember back in the day, you'd be on a website, you'd complete a purchase, And then you'd see a list of other offers. And because we had already collected all the information for that purchase, it was really easy if the shopper just clicked on the other offer.
There might be 10 of them and they would just rotate through them.
You'd click them all and everything was pre-filled. Like there might be a couple of missing data points from the previous purchase, but basically it was a real easy way to like upsell at the end of a different, and these companies didn't, they weren't the same companies. Basically they partnered with us to create that listing page and then they'd share, you know, a commission to the owner of the original website. So that's what I kind of launched in the UK back in the day. So I've seen the early days of display advertising, social media advertising. I worked for a very large app company. So mobile marketing was what I was doing actually before Amazon stuff. So it's funny. The only thing I never really dove deep into was SEO in general. But okay. Then that's kind of all I do now for Amazon because it's basically just SEO within the Amazon ecosystem, if you think about it from that perspective.
You're covering them all a little bit.
Now I'm covering them all. So people are like, oh yeah, did you do SEO? And I'm like, well, never on Google, but Amazon PPC is pretty much learning how to do SEO within their ecosystem. It's just a massive search engine.
I personally think like having that background and then coming to Amazon later is a better way to go than starting with Amazon expertise and going the other way.
Yeah, I was super lucky. Again, these things kind of just fell in my lap. So I was working for a PR company at the time back in 2017. One of those clients was like, hey, I'm doing Amazon sale of PPC. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you take a look? Because I had been looking at and worked with so many ad tech companies before that, I was looking at this is 2017, the Amazon Ads Console. This was before the sponsored brands were even launched. It was just sponsored product ads.
It'd been out like 2 years.
Yeah, I figured that out in like a couple of days. I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this. And I started managing his PPC account in 2017. He's still my client, right? And then word of mouth, he started telling people. And then slowly within 2 years, right, within a year, like all my clients were just Amazon sellers. And I was early adopter of, I saw the headline search ad launch, which is now sponsored brands, all the sponsored display campaign types. Like I've been there at the launch of each of those, which is cool. Cause then I was able to do like case studies.
Yeah.
I was able to launch certain campaign types, compare them against each other. And then that's when Helium 10 picked me up. And then that's a whole story.
Okay. So Startup Hustle is not just Amazon sellers or Amazon, you know, e-commerce focused listeners. Although a lot of people listening to my show are. Let's give a little background on Helium 10. It's one of the larger players in the space. And for anyone listening that doesn't know what that is, let's give them a little context.
Yeah, so Helium 10 is it's probably one of the largest, most effective software solutions out there for people that are Amazon sellers, Walmart. They're expanding into different areas as well, but they're really good for product research, keyword research. I still leverage them when I'm taking on, you know, looking at different accounts, seeing, you know, are they targeting the right keywords in their listings? Are they targeting the right keywords in their PPC? So, you know, having these kinds of tools to do keyword research, product research, ASIN research, really, really powerful stuff. And Helium 10 is a great company. I was there for, you know, almost 3.5 years and I built up their PPC side of their business. But yeah, if anyone is looking to get into, you know, either the Amazon space or Walmart, those tools are really kind of second to none.
Yeah. Here at Martinology, at our agency, we definitely have, you know, a partnership with Helium 10, but also just have used their tools, you know, for a very long time as part of our suite. We honestly dabble with almost every tool out there just to be able to keep everybody honest, but then also just be able to pull little things from each of these tools that are like, but they do better than the others, you know? Yeah.
Some might do better than others. I've tested quite a few out there. 100%. If, you know, I know Mina's a big fan of DataDive too. I like them as well. Whatever works for you, but Helium 10 is really good they're really good at training. And so for people that are, you know, really want to learn more, they've got a lot of content. I will say that it's one thing they do probably better than any other software company out there is the training. And that's what attracted me to working with them. And that's one of the main things I'm known for. I used to have a show called Tacos Tuesday. And so even just at this last Prosper, which I saw you at, and we were dancing with Isabella Hamilton at the at the last party. It was fun. But I hear someone say, oh, it's the Tacos guy. It's Mr. Tacos. So my thing was all, and whenever I hear that, I'm like, no, that's Mr. Tacos to you, right? Or Sir Tacos.
Listen.
Yeah, Sir Tacos. And so now I'm with Trivium, I launched my monthly PPC AMA, and now it's called Sir Tacos Tuesday.
Okay, so Helium 10. So you have like, so we kind of went in somewhat of the same path. I mean, I've been doing Amazon and e-com for 12 years now. So mm-hmm. My goodness.
Yeah.
2011, really, you know, so was dabbling with Amazon almost 4 years before PPC came out.
Oh yeah. Before you needed it. Before it was
Well, back when search terms were everything, right? Like, right. You know, most listings on Amazon didn't have trademarks or brand registry. So if you put the product up first, you could impact the keywords, but then
absolutely.
If not, you couldn't, you know, so SEO was like, but you could always like kind of change the back end search terms and like,
yeah,
you know, were you using commas? Were you using plurals? Like,
yeah. Were you doubling the keywords? Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, and then it just started where I would like get some clients like through freelancer sites. And then they started referring me to others that like needed help because through the forums and happened very naturally like that. I just went to build an agency instead of joining a team. I think partially some of that has to do with location.
Yeah.
Just simply like where I am, things like that. So
yeah, at the time I was 20 minutes from the Helium 10 office. So that's why they reached out to me actually. It was proximity.
Proximity, right? So here in the Midwest, it was just like, there's nobody around here. I think Solozo eventually came out here.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, 2019 or, you know, something like that. But software company, there's just not really community out here. For the most right. part, there's some big sellers, there's some great brands, but not really like a big Amazon community. And so the way for me to grow looked like a little bit differently. Yeah. But not to spend too much time on it, but you go from essentially like having a consultancy, running PPC, to getting hired by Helium 10 to build up their coursework or like the PPC tech.
At the time, they didn't have the tech. There was no software tool. So they wanted somebody that was, you know, doing it. And so that's why I came on board basically to build out their PPC side of their business, including the tools. So I luckily great team again over there, really good developers. So I just directed them and said, hey, here's everything I'm doing manually. Let's create this in software. Luckily I had all the spreadsheets and things like that and the macros. So they were able to build it out and then we iterated it. They purchased Prestizon. They combined it with the platform I had launched. Then Atomic was born, and Atomic is now what's still there at Helium 10. But they do a really good job of onboarding people, like how to really get the best out of the tool, which I had a part in doing. And then training and marketing, I kind of wore all hats, as you do as a young company.
You founded a software within a software.
Yeah, exactly. And I was a specialist at that time, right? And now that they have more people in there, but at the time it was just me. So I kind of had to wear all the hats till the tool was built. And then even after that had to, you know, luckily I was able to, because I built it into my contract, I maintained at least a handful of my clients. I had a bunch of clients before Helium 10. I knocked out a bunch of them, but then I held, because the only way to really iterate on a software tool is to be
stay in it.
It's to stay in it, right? And stay in the thing that you're trying to improve upon, which is the Amazon Ads Console. So I was able to still a small handful of clients in the Amazon Ads Console, and then okay, well, this is what's needed in the tool now that is at Helium 10. So it kind of was the best of both worlds. I was really lucky to be able to do that. You know, and now I'm still able to do that content and marketing training now. That's when Mina, you know, picked me up at the beginning of this year to say, hey, you know, you've done a great job with the content marketing at Helium 10. Would you like to now do it for Trivium?
Yeah, no, I think it's an awesome move for you and Mina. Mina being a close friend of mine.
Yeah.
just like my sister and him are a lot alike. So a lot of people don't know my sister Veronica, but she's been with me almost since the beginning of Marketology. Her background, she had a master's in engineering.
Her and Mina,
you know, you know, kind of communicate the same and stuff like that. So, you know,
fast and with numbers
can be an awesome, like, executor, you know, and getting it done. But sometimes like educating to the lowest common denominator or like, you know, can be difficult.
Yeah. And I'm really good at seeing the spread, especially if I know the audience ahead of time. And being like, okay, this is where I need to speak from and teach from. And again, that's one of the reasons why he brought me on. So I'm super excited to be here with you you know, under his banner. He's a great friend of mine. I've known him for, you know, a few years in this space. I think, I'm pretty sure I was one of the people that told him he should launch a PPC agency. So it's kind of weird.
So it's cool. You're like, I'll be full there circle. In a couple of years. Build it. I'll be there in a few years.
Yeah. Build it up and then they'll come, right?
No, I love it. Well, I got some more questions for you before we do. Sure. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io. We can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Okay, so we know that advertising effectively on Amazon is super important for success on the platform. Both of us being tenured, you know, Amazon consultants, we know that the keywords in the listing matter. We know that the images and the content matter. We know that price point and reviews matter. These are all like dials, you know, that are part of the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them being a live part of the ecosystem, in my opinion. And to me, the advertising is not only what goes out there and gets sales and brings in new customers. It's also what validates everything else.
Absolutely.
If we have educational content in the images, like we're selling a product that has some educational aspect to it, and we're driving PPC that has those educational terms in it, and those terms aren't converting, well, maybe we need to change the content, you know, things like that. So they're very much related into what everything is going on. And one of the reasons why, you know, I've always harped, you know, my years of speaking on PPC and all these different things is like the software is a great tool, but you have to use it in tandem with a human mind and a marketing mind. Absolutely. And so it's the, you know, if you just set it on auto cruise control, it's not going to tell you these types of insights where, hey, your images are not really reflecting what keywords are converting over here. It's not going to give you the whole picture.
Exactly. Right? I 100% agree. Even with the tool I built, I'm like, I will never say it's a set it and forget it type situation.
It just isn't. And I'm honestly doing a talk right now where I'm talking about a brand launch I did with a single SKU brand over like 12 weeks of running the PPC and what I was learning and my takeaways and just like, you know, it wasn't working well. And so we had to really just like dig in and pivot and try different strategies and you know, using advertising to do so. And so just taking people through the kind of my thought process doing that. Mm-hmm. So very top of mind for me. Let's talk about, for our listeners, let's talk about, you know, so how do you effectively advertise on Amazon? I think it comes down to a couple of things. One of them being your setup, how you originally set up from the beginning. Why don't you share on that kind of like what one of your frameworks looks like?
You know, I get common questions like that. You know, I get tons of questions on PPC. The one thing that I want to say at the beginning is, and we kind of touched base on it, mindset is super important. Mindset when it comes to advertising is important too. A lot of people have a mindset, especially if they're new, that they're going to launch PPC and just make a shit ton of sales. I'm like, not necessarily. And that's really not the point of PPC. The PPC is your commercial. It's your advertisement, right? So I like to tell people the most important factor is understanding what PPC is supposed to do, what it is and what it's supposed to do. If you come at it from that angle, then some other questions get cleared up. But, you know, again, I like to think of it as, you know, browsing. When shoppers browsing, they're browsing a lot on Amazon now. They used to browse on Google and then go to Amazon. Now people are just browsing on Amazon, and you know, there's a 2-week pixel on two of their main campaign types. Why is that? Well, because people are taking longer to make purchase decisions. So they're browsing. So the browsing
catalog is getting better is what I feel like. I feel like it used to be a pretty poor experience.
Yeah. And I like to tell, you know, new people too. It's like the browsing is kind of the road that your PPC is the billboard on the side of the road as people are driving by. And the better your billboard is or more times they see it, right? Because it's also repetition, because they might not need it right away, but they see it again and again. They might remember you and then go in and type your brand name directly because they've seen it so many times. Like that is kind of the point. But once they're off the road, once they're done browsing and they get to your store, right? Or your PDP, your product detail page, it's really the store's job or the listing's job to actually make the conversion. Too often I see people trying to say that PPC is supposed to make conversions. No. The listing makes the conversions. So yeah, like you said, if your listing isn't set up, 100%. And it's a very simple thing. If your listing and price do not look as good, if not better than your closest competitor, you're not ready. So it's a very simple thing to do. All you have to do is figure out who your closest competitor is, look at their page, and be like, oh, okay. And this even works actually for people that have been running for quite some time. One of my clients has a copycat product out there, and the copycat product has a listing better than my clients. So they're like, oh, crap. Look at this listing. This is really appealing. Now we got to, we're going to incorporate these things. So at beginning and then also continuously, especially if something like that, you got to be checking yourself against your competitors. So you can't put lipstick on a pig and call it anything else but a pig, right? It's the same with PPC. PPC is not going to fix a broken listing, bad images, no videos, which is super powerful. I love talking about video, wrong price point, right? So mindset number one is important around PPC. The other mindset issue that I think people fall into the trap of is just not spending enough, right? And especially at launch, you have to be under of the mindset, I'm going to lose all the money that I'm going to not get any money from this PPC. I'm going to spend and make, your goal is break even, right? The last episode Mina was on, I listened to you, said you make 700, but you spend 700. That's 100% ACoS. Like, people need to go into it with the mentality of the correct target, the correct
ACoS. Expectation, right? Correct
expectations, also another big one. Like, people come in and they go, oh, well, I heard that 20% ACoS is good, so that's my goal. No. That's after tons of data collection. Like, you can't optimize what you don't have. You got to pay upfront for the data. That means break even ACoS. Break even means knowing what, you know, some of your other costs are, things like that. But if you just want to say 100% ACoS, I made 700, I lost 700, that's okay, because you're in data collection mode. Then the longer you can do that, the better. Like, that's another thing. People try to, their data collection windows are too small, right? So they're like, oh, well, I got this week's worth of data. That's not enough. And especially budgets are another issue. Like, you got to be in budget, right? That's what I was saying. You got to put the right around in budget. Got to make sure your campaign is on 24/7, at least 2 to 3 weeks, a month if you can really afford it. Like, I like to tell people, just do it a month. Don't even look at it. Like, if you did your PPC keyword research ahead of time, your ASIN research ahead of time, you drilled down into the categories and said, okay, I'm going to refine the categories, then let it run and then see what happens. Then after that, take that big chunk of data. Then that's when you optimize down to like a target ACoS. And you do the same thing when you launch a new product, same thing. You start over again with that whole data collection mode, because you might think that you know something, but you really don't know until you actually
look at the data.
Like, especially with, you know, the auto campaigns. Auto campaigns are brilliant because it just lets Amazon do all the work, which is also bad because it means there's a lot of stuff coming to it. But
getting information around getting information around what not to do is just as important.
Exactly. What not to do is just as important. So getting that data collection is super important, especially when launching a brand new product. Even if you're a new seller or not a new seller, I'm saying, if you're launching new products, data collection mode is key. That's looking at PPC correctly, making sure you have the right budget, making sure your expectations for ACoS is correct. Like, that, those are the kinds of things that really are powerful, that if you just get those set up, you're going to have a great year. Stock is another thing, which I know you and Mina touched on too, but making sure you don't run out of stock, because that is, not only does it kill the algorithm, just the whatever, I don't want to call it basic algorithm, Amazon's algorithm, but it also messes up the PPC algorithm too, because
there's two algorithms.
There's two algorithms running, right? You got the organic.
There's a queue, there's all types of stuff happening.
Exactly. Yeah. So people don't often talk about that. If you ran out of stock, yes, it's bad in general, but it's actually super bad for your PPC. Like, I used to, back in the day, I would say that a seller could be out of stock for like a month, and then their PPC, the stock came back in, the PPC came back on, and they were fine. Right now it's like, no, if you're out of the algorithm for like a week, it's almost like starting your PPC all over again. Not super that dramatic, but almost, right?
And it's hard because it becomes almost like a finger pointing type of situation, right? So a lot of times on the agency side, like, we're not in charge of the brand's stock or supply, you know? And so they're like, look, we fixed this, we're back in stock, we should be selling again. Well, this isn't Facebook. This isn't I'm not saying it's exactly the same or whatever, but I'm just like, this isn't exactly the same.
But that's where they're coming from, because they're doing DDC, you know, direct to consumer on Facebook and things like that. So yeah, when you just turn that back on, that's
different. Okay, let's ship it out. Let's get it going. No, it doesn't work like that. This is like a system that all works together. You know, and you want to think that they're mutually exclusive, like these different areas, but they're really not. That's why reviews matter with the PPC. Oh, like if you get two bad reviews, your PPC might tank for a while. Like, right? It could essentially conversion rate. These are the two newest reviews. They're bad.
Mm-hmm. You know, PPC, you don't have that many.
Correct. Right. So that's just an example of like, you know, all the little things that work together to make that happen. And I think, you know, what you're calling as like data collection mode, we do this all the time. I would consider like a growth mode and a lean mode, right? Mm-hmm. So like at the beginning, you're in grow, gather data, grow sales, figure out what can sell, even if it's one that's not sustainable, figure out what are all the keywords that can sell. And then once you've got all that data, you start leaning up, you know, okay, where can we cut the fat? Like, you know, same thing in like personal fitness. A lot of times it's like, there's a bulk mode where you're trying to put on some weight and then you try to cut it back. Right.
And then maintain. How do I maintain?
Maintain. Exactly. And I do the same thing in my business where like we're growing, I'm trying all these different things. And then it's like, okay, of all those different things we're doing, which ones have some sticky to them or which ones seem like we're getting progress, and let's cut the ones that are, you know, the lowest hanging fruit. So great insight on just like the mindset you need to have coming into PPC. Talk to me about, you mentioned this several times, like budget and spending enough, and then like, you know, starting over if you have a different ASIN or a different SKU coming to market. So many times brands or sellers ask me, well, how much PPC do we need to start with, right? And so for me, it's always been this balance of like, okay, I don't want to like tell them what I really want in regards to PPC spend, because I don't want them to feel like this is an impossible leap. And I'm like, okay, so technically if we get a little bit here, we can prove concept and like grow it, but it's obviously not the best case scenario. How do you come up with essentially like, you know, a brand's launching with like, let's say less than five SKUs or so. Mm-hmm. Is it per ASIN? Is it like by category type? Like what's your thinking around that?
Yeah, it absolutely is by category. It's the product, right? How competitive is the product? If you're launching in a very competitive landscape, you're going to spend more. If your product is super niche, you probably don't need to spend that much. So it really, that's when looking at, you know, keyword research, search term research, looking at ad volume to see, you know, what is actually going to have a lot more competition than another product. That's where that. So I get asked that budget question a lot, and you're nicer than me. My typical answer is, how much can you afford? Right. So I tend not to give them a number, really. Because, and each client's different too, because it's depending on their price point. So I wouldn't give the same answer to someone whose product is $199 to someone that's, their product is $20, right? So it's really, if you know what their margins are, which is a question that I often ask at the beginning, then you can kind of formulate a budget for them. But because it's really based on that, it's really based on what are their margins, how long can they afford to go on 100% ACOS, right? And based on those conversations, I'll set up a budget, but I always go higher. So I always ask them for more than what I actually think it's going to spend. Cause that in that way, then it looks like I've done them, I've helped them out, because I didn't actually spend the full budget that I suggested that they do. But I don't want to give you like a certain like key number or anything like that. But I say that the most important thing is, what's your margins and the competitiveness in the marketplace. That should dictate, and then timing, knowing that you're going to have to run it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, if you're doing some keyword research, looking at CPMs, you can average some CPMs by looking at Amazon and be like, okay, this is how much this is going to be. And you can kind of calculate, but it's literally a per product basis.
So let's go a little bit deeper. So let's say you're like, so it depends on someone's margin. So let's say their margin is, after everything is said and done, like meaning Amazon fees come out after the product's been sold type margins, not like before it's sold, but they're coming away with like 30% profit. Mm-hmm. What does that say to you versus a product that's at 10% or a product that's at like, you know, 75% profit or something like that? Like higher or lower, what's it tell you? So if your lower profit margins, is that like spend less because you have to be.
Yeah. Well, that tells me that what they most likely are going to be able to afford, right? If they've got some backing and they got some, you know, financial capabilities to spend more, like you can typically, like we can set budgets at the beginning of running campaigns, but you can tell typically within a week, okay, this is how much this is going to run on a weekly basis, add a buffer and be like, okay, this is the projection now for this full 30 days of collecting the data. So yeah, but I kind of like that. If you know you have a lot more margin, then in my opinion, that I'm going to tell them you need to, you can spend more.
Because once you get those sales, we're going to be looking okay.
Yeah, because you can afford to. So the quicker that you can get to sales velocity in the algorithm, the better it's going to be for you. So you got that super high margin, let's spend it. Let's put that margin to work for you in the data collection mode, right? So that we can trim it down quicker than you. For the one that's only got 20% margin, that's going to take longer to do. It's going to take longer to get the data.
Let's go slower. Otherwise, we're going to be just like leaking money.
Exactly.
Understood.
Yep.
Okay. Good stuff, Vince. I think this is really helpful for a lot of people.
Sure.
Okay. So you've got your expectations in line. You've got your mindset right. Mm-hmm. You're in data. You haven't said, no, I can't spend this money. You know, you're like, you're willing to go all in.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you've got a strong setup with the right mindset.
Yeah.
What are some other things that maybe a lot of sellers miss or aren't thinking about that can really lead to a lot of efficiencies in your ads?
The biggest thing that I think a lot of sellers kind of feel is, I'll talk about video again, that video is like kind of out of their reach, right? So it's such a huge misconception. So I was looking at one of my clients' videos and literally something that she shot herself using and putting the product in it's a bike rack, the thing that they sell. I was looking at year to date and it has the highest PPC sales. That's super simple video that she edited herself versus the fancier videos, because it's a pretty big brand. So they have some fancier videos. And I was like, look at this. This is the type of video you guys need to create more. And they're like, oh, cool. We don't have to work so hard. So I think that what I want to say is if you haven't launched video, do it, because video is the most powerful, in my opinion, the most powerful campaign type out there. It's got the highest CTR that I've seen. And Amazon keeps iterating on it, right? They keep finding different places to put video. They're adding video onto product detail pages now with sponsored display. So really, I kind of feel like launching new campaign types is another thing too. So a lot of sellers come at it from the perspective of, oh, this campaign type is new, I'm going to wait and see. No. If
that's when you should jump on it.
It's when you should jump because you're an early adopter, right? So again, since I was there at the beginning, when video campaigns came out, like all my clients, I'm like, we're making videos. What do we need to do? Because I need to get them out there, right? And of course, because it's video, they crushed it. I did a case study. Amazon, it was up on the Amazon Ads blog. I think it's still there. So I'm a big proponent of early adopters. So that being said, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but there's a brand new campaign type for video where it's right below the search bar. So you're just typing, like, if you type the word crutches right now, you'll probably see a video. That's one of my clients. You'll see a video and it's like, whoa, that is crazy powerful because it's literally the first thing that you see. Imagine you're on your mobile phone, right? You're doing a search and that's because it'll fill up the whole screen and it's an autoplay and you're just, boom, you're right there looking at everybody
that's looking at that product.
Yeah, that's thinking about whatever search term they put in, giving them the ability to, you know, share how it's used, you know, the lifestyle imagery, making sure the shopper can see themselves using the product. Three benefits, three features. It's super powerful. So video is one thing that I think, number one, a lot of sellers are intimidated about. Amazon has a video builder now. I think it's available everywhere. It might just be North America, but they have a really simple video builder in there. Some, you know, some static images, some graphics, I throw in some music. Doesn't have to be complicated. If you've got a complicated product, yeah, you might need more, or super competitive, you might need, you know, more commercial quality type videos, which are there, but still they're worth the investment and be an early adopter because I'm still seeing, you know, some of the search terms I look for, there's literally no videos playing there. And it's because I still find it difficulty finding videos on the detail pages, which is the sponsored display video just launched last fall. So people are not adopting it. So I think that you know, there's two answers there. One, do video if you haven't done it yet. If you're scared of it, there's no reason to be. It can be super simple until you get something more advanced. And number two, be an early adopter of new campaign types. Amazon does a pretty good job of finding out new ways to make money, right? We all know, or maybe, you know, Amazon ads is their largest money earner. It's not the money they get from the sales of products. It's not the, you know, AWS. It's literally Amazon ads. So they're incentivized to make sure that they are going to convert, right? So they test these placements out before launching them. And then, well, I know that only because I used to work with them. They told me that. So, you know, it's not something to be afraid of. Like in other instances, when there's beta on software, yeah, I could see that. And I know this is dealing with your money and your spend, but the upside is you're an early adopter, and you get to, whenever you're an early adopter for anything, Amazon looks at you different. Like I've got campaigns running right now that if I launched right now would not perform as well as they
as when you launched them,
as when I launched them like last year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years at this point. Like, so when you're an early adopter, we don't know how the algorithm works, but it gets you in a really good position. And as long as you're continuing to make sales, Amazon's going to love you forever.
Well, I think age campaigns matter.
Absolutely.
Like how old the campaigns are. So think about you're in a new campaign type and you're one of the early adopters. You're one of the first. Well, yep. Your campaign is going to be older than everyone else that starts after you, right? Exactly. So the type of feedback we give clients around, like, even if you're trying to dial a campaign down, is like, never stop it, right? Yeah, you're never trying to stop it. Never pause it, because you're going to lose that age.
I do that with auto campaigns, right? Because auto campaigns, when they've been running for years, right? Like, you probably got all the terms out of it you're going to get. So I'm like, I'm not going to turn it off. It's got that relevance. It's got the history. I'll just turn it into a low bid auto campaign, right? So it just gets all the low hanging fruit, the 2 o'clock in the morning traffic, right? And it still converts. Does it have as many sales as it did in its heyday? No. But it's got good sales volume at a very low ACoS because it's been running for years, right? So, and you know, if you can look at different campaign types that way, if you've got campaigns running where you're just using category targeting, like you've isolated, I'm just going to run category targeting for, you know, product targeting campaigns. You can kind of do the same thing, because category targeting is kind of like,
it's always going to be there. It's always going to be showing up.
It's kind of like an auto campaign. It's like, you're telling Amazon, well, just feature me in this particular category of products. So yeah, run it. And you know, if you're using that kind of campaign to pull ASINs from, so you can run it maybe to like a campaign that directly targets those ASINs, same way you do with ASINs that you pull from auto campaign. Yeah, eventually, over years and years and years, you might be able to reduce that product targeting category campaign to like a low bid campaign, and it will get that, you know, low hanging fruit traffic that's not prime, but campaign history is a huge part of the algorithm. I will say that I do know that it's a huge part, because I've seen it over the past five.
Same. That's, sometimes it's like, look, I don't have something written from Amazon telling me this, like, but 12 years in, I'm like, I don't really have to have that to tell you that I know it to be true, you know? Yeah. And so if you've truly been in there operating and tinkering, like for us as a team, you know, I realized early on that there was so much new stuff coming out on Amazon that I had to build a team to be able to keep up. There's just no way I could know everything about feedback emails and PPC and SEO and content, and just, it was never ending, right? So I'm like, okay, cool, build a team as quick as I can that can also be learning all these things with me along the way.
That's great.
Like, you know, I wanted to get your opinions on, just because we were talking video, Amazon Inspire, right? So that's not paid right now at this time. It's not paid media, right? You're not paying for a sponsored video ad, but it's different than Amazon Live in that it's living like a shoppable feed on Amazon. And it's obviously following, you know, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikTok kind of style.
Yeah, like posts following Instagram.
Correct. But think about it. You're an influencer there, or you're an Amazon brand that's like, look, I know this isn't as big as TikTok or these opportunities here, but if I figure this out early, right, if I figure out how to work with Amazon influencers early and really dominate the shopping feed, well, maybe the shopping feed is only 10% of what sponsored video could be, but it's essentially a 10th of the price and you dominate that 10%, huge opportunity.
Yeah, it's massive. So, it's when clients ask me about, you know, those types of things, I'm like, look, if it doesn't take anything away from, or doesn't take any more time to do, like with posts, like if you're already running an Instagram feed, you're creating content for Instagram, right? Cool. We'll also put it on posts, right? And so now with Inspire, if you're already doing videos, if you're already doing, you know, maybe user generated content, if you're already doing reels, cool. Now this is a new way that you can use it. And I always, the problem is I always get the question, well, how is that going to affect my sales? I'm like, well, we don't know. We won't know until you get in there. it's when it's new like that, it's like, it's all about testing, right? It's all everything with Amazon really is testing, you know, from videos to images.
Yeah.
To,
if you're not in a testing, like if you don't like mentality. Testing, if you don't like A/B testing, if you don't like innovating, pivoting, changing iterations of stuff, like honestly, just get off the platform. Like you're not, we don't need you as consultants. We don't want to work with you. Honestly, you're not going to be happy on this platform anyway. That's my message. Okay.
I have had to let go of a couple of clients because they just did not want to iterate. They just didn't want, they didn't see the need. I'm like, but you need to, or you grow or you die. So if Amazon's coming out with all these different ways, you know, all these new campaign types, and you've still got the same title that you, and you haven't tested it once, you still got the same images that you haven't done any A/B testing on, you've got these new creative options for sponsored brands, sponsored display to add images to, but you don't have any lifestyle images to include. What does that mean? You're going to fall behind the people that are doing those things, that are taking advantage of those things. And then that's going to affect your PPC. And then you're going to come and get mad at me. And it's like that, no, you didn't iterate. You didn't test. You were doing great, but you need to iterate.
You got comfortable. Like you got too comfortable and your resistance to change, your resistance to trying something different
more money.
is killing us as a team.
I'm like, yes, it'll cost money to create videos. Yes, it'll cost money to generate some lifestyle images. But if you don't, you're going to see your sales basically dry up.
It's like, you know, it's like a rental property. Like, you know, just I like comparing it to other things because it's people just can't get their head out of it. But it's like you can have a completely rehabbed, you know, rental property that's just gorgeous, right? Mm-hmm. Well, 5 years from then, maybe even 1 year from then, there's other fixes you have to make to it. And you might even need not just to get it back to where it was, but it might need to even be better based on, you know, the neighborhood, maybe what was good then isn't good now. Mm-hmm. You have to continue to invest in your business.
You painted it like a really popular color, like back when it was popular, like, you know, salmon. And now people look at that color, they're like, what?
Ugh. They're like, no one wants salmon, right? Change the door, change the trim. Like, you know, like you're having to constantly, like, it'd be like if I still dress like, you know, I was born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. If I still dress like I was stuck in the 90s, to each their own. Okay, to each their own. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm trying to market myself, my company, my brand. And like, you know, you're stuck.
You'll look stuck. You know, and that comes across. That will come across to the shoppers. If you've got a landing page, it kind of just looks old. Like there is a vibe that I get when I look at different listings, right? 100%. And
an emotional, like,
yeah,
you know, you feel something.
We're in sales, right? This is sales. Sales is an emotional thing. You're trying to convince a shopper to buy your product amongst a myriad of other products, most likely that are the same. So you got to get them to feel like your product is a better option. That's an emotion. So, and that's why Amazon's done a great job. You can now put video in A+ content, right? I'm like, as soon as I heard that at Prosper, I was like, hey guys, this video needs to go here, 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 and here, right? Because video tells story, creative tells story. That's why the A+ content is so popular. That's why the video is so popular. And that's why Amazon, to their credit, like they're iterating on it because it works, because it is emotion. And that's what sells.
Yep. Change is hard, but like if you don't do it, you're going to die, especially as a business. And that's just why I'm saying Amazon's not for you. Me and Vince don't really want to work with you either. Just save us the time and struggle.
Yes, please.
At the same time, I'm so grateful to the clients or brands I've had with me along this journey. Some of them I've had seven plus yeah, years. You know, I've been doing this like 9 years. And the ones committed to testing and innovating and growing and letting me sharpen my skills using their brands, you know, to learn those things. They've always, I'm saying, hey, this is a new opportunity. We got to try it. Like, this is what I'm thinking. And I know, I know those two or three people I'm going to call, but they also get the benefit of when we do hit those, when we are a first mover on something, we hit the sweet spot, like video ads when we had them or simply another cost, like this is not tied to ads, but for all the brands that didn't listen to me about being FBM and FBA as a backup.
Oh, dude.
We hit a pandemic, right? Oh, and that's a moment where I'm like, I told you so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and maybe my reasoning before that was like slow check-in times or like, you know, Q4 holiday. Right. I obviously didn't see a pandemic, but I knew that like when foresight. Stuff happens, you foresight.
It's it's a no-brainer because especially when you, pandemic aside, you think about Amazon constantly changing quantities, right? That you are allowed to put in, right? So if that is constantly in flux, you got to have backup. You got to have FBM as well as FBA. That's pretty much how I sell it, is by saying with FBM, you have more control. You know, you can put as much stock in there as you want.
If something happens, it allows us to at least like operate at 30% speed instead of zero. Exactly. Or whatever the case is,
and that
is
key. If you only got an FBA, you ran out of stock, your campaign shut down, no bueno, right? Because you're no longer in the algorithm. Which what does that mean? All your competitors are in stock, are in the algorithm, right? And if it's for a long period of time, like I was saying before, if it's too long, you almost got to start over. So simple. Have FBM stock in there too, right? So that doesn't get shut down. And FBA, as soon as it comes back. You know, I always get the question, well, is that going to mess up, you know, because we can see FBA converts better and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, is it going to stick on FBM? I'm like, no, Amazon also knows FBA converts better. So they're going to also, and it's there, it's in there. They're going to prefer that. So it's not when the stock comes back in the FBA, it's going to, you'll be good. It's going to be fine. It'll go back to the way it was before you ran out of stock. And like, oh, okay.
My crazy thing is just like, you know, a lot of times you're having these conversations with people that might be like on Amazon a year, 6 months or something. And not to say like, oh my God, ego, nothing like that. It's just like, listen, 12 years, that's why you're paying me to be here. Right. You know, I've obsessed about this for not other things for 12 years, like Amazon and e-com, 100 hours a week for 12 years, right? We're talking like 20,000 hours on the platform. Wow. Yeah, even if you can't explain it, you're like, it's like, I'm dialed in. Like, you know, you know these things without knowing. And it's like, to go against that advice sometimes is just, it's silly. So I'll stop throwing enough shade because I'm talking to the invisible listener that's just bad at change. But,
when talking about e-com in general, and not, this is an entrepreneurship podcast.
Yeah,
you need to have a mindset of I'm going to roll with the flow, the changes. I'm going to iterate because if you don't grow, you die. So that is entrepreneurship 101.
We're not asking for 100%, like change 100% of your ad strategy. It's like, no, but have a 20% of your ad budget or whatever the case is. That's for R&D. That's trying new things. That's
right.
That's investing in a video. That's start with a little motion graphic or like, you know, images turned into video. And then if it starts doing okay, go invest and get the good one. You know, like there's so many ways to go into it. I'm not saying like go extreme, but if you don't have that like test, reiterate, that's just what Amazon is as a platform. So
it absolutely is. And, you know, if you're new to this, you know, connect with people, hire people that are in it, right? So you don't have to, like you were saying, I get clients' apprehension sometimes because they're not actually in it regularly. They're not in the data. They're not looking at, they don't know, they're not comparing it against any other data, which we are, because we have access to multiple clients. So we can see trends across different countries, right? So that's why it's so important to align yourself with people that are specialists in, you know, whatever it is that you're looking to do. That again is a key entrepreneur 101 lesson, I think.
Yeah. I just thought of something shortly. And then I have a question for you as we round out. But like through the years, like launching brands internationally, like once the aggregators have come out, And the aggregators have pushed so much content. Like, it's changed so much in the last couple of years as far as like what everyone knows and like the amount of what's being spoken about, and it's just gone to scale, right?
Yeah.
But in, you know, in the early years, like launching in Australia or Japan or Canada or the UK or Germany, there wasn't tons of people talking about it. And it was more so like consultants like ourselves being like, hey, this could be an opportunity. And, you know, a lot of times the brands or the sellers would be like, well, you know, there's that. And there's like, but what is there really a customer market there? And like, you know, it's going to cost extra to get it to the US and then get it over to Canada or AU. And, you know, what experience tells me, even in regards to the advertising, is I've done a few brands before. Now we've done quite a few. And not sure, maybe it costs you a little bit more to export. Maybe it takes a little bit more time. Maybe the market's a little bit smaller. But did you know the PPC is a tenth of what it is in the US, you know, at those times when those new markets open up, just kind of like video ads. So all the effort simply comes down, and you wouldn't know this unless you've done it, but wow, PPC comes in. Like, I mean, I used to think it was broken in Italy and Germany when I first started advertising, because it was so cheap. I couldn't get it to spend 10 bucks. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was like, it was just like,
I struggle the same way looking at the UK even. I'm like, wow, it's, there's still,
is this broke? Like, you know, is this broke? It's too cheap. Like, you know, so anyway, round out. Okay.
Yeah.
If you had to give sellers, like, you know, we've talked about setup, we've talked about some of the key things they're not thinking of, whatever, but like one last tip that you're like, you know, how to really think about making your campaigns more effectively, some strategy. And then to tune that out, what's one thing that you're working on personally as Vince Montero, you know, this year that you're working on that you're excited about?
Tip, strategy, and we kind of talked about it, A-B testing, but I want to take it a little bit further. A-B test based on data that you already have. A lot of people don't look at their data and think about it in this way that I'm going to explain. So if you're looking at your data, and let's say you see a bunch of long tail keywords that are converting, right? They're not going to get the most amount of sales because they're longer tail keywords. And by that, I mean like, you know, three or four search terms, right? If you see a significant number of terms like that, you might want to, and if you can afford it, you might want to break that out and create custom creative that just speaks to that term, right? So a great example I heard at Prosper from my friend Rob Witzley of Video Fresh is like, let's say you have luggage and it's foldable, right? And it, you know, one of those rollouts, but all your creative in your video doesn't show that feature. It's just listed as a bullet. Well, let's say you look at your data, your PPC data, whatever it is, and you can see foldable or fold out or roller luggage. You've got quite a few different variations of that. And that should tell you, oh, if I actually created a campaign that was specific to those long tail keywords and put maybe add some rollout video footage, or maybe create a creative for your sponsor brand and your sponsor display campaigns that shows that feature, you can run a campaign just targeting those search terms, right? Or keywords at that point. And you pretty much
increase your conversion.
And you're guaranteed success because you already have the data that speaks to these terms or what is selling. So if I can visually show them that in a video or a creative, you know, A-B testing is key, but I really think that drilling down into your data and then actually starting to think of ways you can A-B test based on what's working is, to me, that's something that I'm looking forward to doing.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant, Vince. And I 100% agree myself on that tip. I think people, like, expectations wise is like, if we were doing Facebook or Instagram, like a Facebook, you're paying a Facebook agency to run media for you.
Yeah.
The main thing with Facebook ads is lots of ad creative, the carousel, like, and everyone knows this and isn't aware of this and doesn't think twice.
Right.
On the Amazon side, because most of the ads use that first main image that they've already paid for, right? Like that first image with the white background, it's like they lose the concept of being able to test to get different results. A Facebook ad marketer would be like, that's insane to use the same image across all my campaigns. Like,
exactly.
What are you talking about, right? But on the Amazon side, we don't think that way because it's kind of like a done-for-you system. And a lot of times the Amazon sellers that are listening to this or that are thinking this way are not creatives themselves. So content is the one thing that they kind of like shy away from,
right.
You know, or it's like they're hiring it out, or it's always a chore or a task or an unnecessary expense. But really getting your mindset right to understand that simply changing out a photo or adding a custom creative can be the difference in a campaign being net negative or net positive, you know. So massive great tip. Okay. And then lastly, something you're working on this year, 2023, that you're excited about, whether it's work or personal, it doesn't really matter.
I'm really excited work-wise, you know, to be working with Mina Elias at Trivium Group. He's got a great team there, which I'm now a part of, and super stoked to be able to, you know, create more content, create more trainings, and, you know, get people that are, you know, ready to, you know, jump into having somebody else manage their PPC. You know, Trivium's a great option out there. So super stoked about that. Personal, kind of told you this earlier, I'm super excited for a trip to Australia that I have coming up at the end of the year, going to Mount Uluru, which is kind of a sacred place to the Aboriginal people. So I'm trying to go to a sacred place like once a year for the next few years. I was in Machu Picchu last fall. So I'm kind of super stoked. I love traveling to begin with. But
it helps so much to have something, I think something to look forward to that's like a little ways out there. One of the things that really hit me in the pandemic was simply anything that you might have thought was going to happen could cancel at any moment. You know, you think you're going to get chicken fingers at Cane's drive through or something, and then they're just like, we don't have chicken fingers today, just the toast, you know. What? So it was like it was this like expectation killer kind of thing. And you know, you just like couldn't even get excited about stuff because it would get canceled or moved or and I started looking at just like, what do I have to be excited about? Oh, getting up and working tomorrow, you know, like. And so I think sometimes even those trips or those shows or those events or those conferences, like simply having it a ways out is like really healthy and good for you to just like, you know, build up anticipation. I know we talked about like keeping expectations low so that you're just happy with whatever.
Sure.
But there's also this like added benefit of really looking forward to something.
Absolutely.
That I think makes it a little bit more special. Yeah. Do you think you'll do any kind of like Amazon events while you're in Australia, or is that not something that's crossed your mind yet?
You know what? I haven't even looked. I have friends out there. I have a client out there, two of which have a friend and a client in Perth. So I am building it into as a business trip as well.
Cool.
Which is, if you can do that, that's awesome for tax purposes. But no, I haven't actually thought about that in Australia show. I will take a look at that after this call, actually.
Maybe get a little bit of your trip paid for if you plan it right. So I don't know, you know?
maybe.
Well, that was awesome, Vince. You've been a source of knowledge. Really appreciate you being on the show and spending your time with us.
If people want to find me, just find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty much one of the only Vince Monteros out there, I think. But Vincent. Oh, yeah, it's Vincent Montero. It's
okay. And we'll have all of his links in the show notes as well for anyone that's, you know, looking at the show, either on Spotify or Apple iTunes. They'll be able to see your links. And shout out again to our sponsor, Fullscale.io. Do you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders? Let Fullscale help you do the job. They have the people in the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit Fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions, then let the platform match you up with a fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. At Fullscale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit Fullscale.io. Vince, thanks for being on the show, and Hustlers, we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.